The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe plug-in hybrid is built for the best of both worlds. For the city buzz, for the call of the wild, for finding solitude, for sharing memories, for day trips, and for far-roaming adventures. Because with gas and electric capability, the Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe inspires you to explore more, to explore it all. Tap the banner to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's hour number three. You know what this is all about. We hear it now. It's become a thing, and I love it. And let's make this a thing throughout the city. Wherever you see us, if you see me, if you see Bart, if you see something that says 98.7 ESPN on it, just scream at it, Power Hour. You'll get our attention, trust me. I found out yesterday, Bart, just walking through the garden. I had to do a stand-up for MSG in what they call Chase Square, which is essentially the box office, the entry. Mm-hmm. And we're there, and all fans are walking through and going to their seats and everything else and excited about the game. And how many times somebody screamed Power Hour to me. It was awesome, and I wanted to get as many of them as I could on video. I think I put at least one in the group chat. But in the meantime, it's just the point is that how many people have now taken to this? That has become a thing for them. And then for yesterday, for us to go through the entire hour without saying it until the very end, you know, it's inexcusable. We can never let that happen again. So without further ado, before
got
we waste
Ray.
Any time
got
getting
that,
to
Ray.
Anything else, shall we then say this? It is hour number three. It is Bart and Han. So, Bart Scott, what's that mean?
It's the Power Hour, Nick 6-6.
Continue to send us your videos of this, of your children doing it, of your grandmother doing it, of your neighbors doing it. If your dog can bark it, do it. Send us the videos. We'll put them on our social. And if they're really good, we'll play them during the Power Hour. That's the best part of this, is that it's not just Bart doing it. It's all of us doing it together. It's you doing it in your car as you're waiting to go home. Because you know you just got to let it out.
Trying to power through traffic.
Say it with your chest. It makes you feel better. Exhale.
In front of your kids. So just say Power Hour. That's our word for uck.
The kids love to do it as well. So, as I mentioned, I was at the Garden last night. As you know, Bart, the Knicks and the Heat had a game that felt like a brawl. And that's the way Miami had to play this game. No Jimmy Butler. The ankle injury kept him out of the game. Although it was noticeable that when he was on the sidelines, he was not in a walking boot. He didn't look like he was taped up at all. And he didn't even look like he was limping. And in fact, it's funny. He had like a sweatshirt on that
he
took
cold.
Off and then had a sleeveless shirt on.
Yeah.
On the,
it was like, weird because at first he had a puffy coat on. Like, bro,
yes.
I know it's springtime and you're
right.
From Miami, but it ain't that damn cold, bro.
Yeah.
Put some iron in your diet.
But still, so he wasn't in the game. And so what it was Eric Spoelstra and the mad scientist throwing all types of different looks for the Knicks to adjust to offensively, defensively, everything else. He had a whole bunch of guys that were a bunch of Bart Scotts, undrafted guys that most people said, who is that? And then by middle of the game said, I'm sick of this guy.
Caleb
and I know
Martin.
You had that same impact yourself when you hit the NFL. First it was, who is this guy? And then by the third quarter, I'm sure opponents and opponents' fans were going, who's 57? I'm sick of that guy. And that's literally what the Heat brought to the Garden. And that's what they had to bring. And it was almost as if the Heat were forcing the Knicks to find out if they could reach a place that you have to get to as a team. A toughness level, a mental toughness level to get to win in the postseason. It took the Knicks about to the end of the third quarter, early fourth, to get there. And then once they did, the Garden erupted. And that finish was a lot of fun. But most of this game was a lot of anxiety.
Well, that's what this game's going to be in the playoffs. If you really want it, it's going to be, can you play four full quarters, right? Understand that it can go either way. Any decision, any plays you make can contribute to that. Playing smart, understanding the situation, being able to get to your spots, get to your shots, play good, have great quality possessions, and live and die by the shot, but make the shot that the defense is dictating to you. Unless you're Jordan Poole and you pass the damn ball, you dummy.
It is true. Now, Jalen Brunson played in the game. He was on the injured list, remember, with a sore foot. Julius Randle, who missed game one, and that's something you can't overlook in the loss that the Knicks had in game one. He had the sprained ankle, you remember, from game five of the series with the Cavs. He played in the game as well, and he played probably his best playoff game so far in his career. But Brunson, with Carmelo Anthony in the building, cheering like crazy from the sideline, Brunson went for 30, became the first Knicks player to score 30 in a playoff game since Carmelo Anthony did in 2013. And Brunson talked about how difficult the Heat were to play against, even without Jimmy Butler.
I'll say this. The Heat have a known culture of how they play and how who they are and what they're about and what their philosophies are and all that stuff. So while they're down a big-time player like that, they still play the same mentality, the same physicality, same attitude. Adding him back just makes them tougher. It's going to be a challenge, but they don't miss a beat. You know, no matter who's out on the floor, that's just who they are, and we have to respect that, and we do. Got to go for it knowing that they're going to be a tough team to beat.
And that's going to be this series. And, Bartz, let me ask you, you're a guy to play in the AFC North. Like, you understand just what that division's about and what those matchups are about when you are going head-to-head with – the Steelers, when you are having to go and fight the Bengals, and you have to go and fight the Browns, and you know, no, like even when the Browns stink this year, or the Bengals stink this year, but you know it's still going to be a fight, no matter how bad they are. Oh, they're missing their guys. Doesn't matter. It's a brawl. That's Browns, Knicks Heat. Knicks Heat is a brawl. I say iron sharpens iron. I think the Knicks have got to understand that Jimmy Butler or no Jimmy Butler, Spo and the Heat are going to hit you again, and hit you one more time. And they're going to tell the referee, I can hit them four times. You can only call one foul. Exactly. I'm going to keep doing it. So with that in mind, do the Knicks have to understand that this is one of those situations that they can learn from this series, and if they can endure this series, they can become a legit contender, because this is going to be a slog to get through.
It's like when the Bulls were trying to get through the Pistons.
Yes.
And they finally got through. They was like, listen, quit looking to the refs. Go get in the weight room. Understand it's going to be what it's going to be. You're going to get some flagrant fouls. Don't let them bait you into punching somebody, because that's what they want. They want you to react. Just get up, dust yourself off, and if you win the series, that's when you pound your chest. But don't be sitting up there. It's going to be physical. Ain't nobody going to – don't look for no help. Because like you said, if it's one possession and five people get fouled on one play, that's one foul.
Yeah, exactly. And don't shy away from contact, because that's what they want too. They're going to pack the paint, and they're going to tell you, oh, you guys like to drive to the basket because we don't have a shot blocker. But guess what we do have? Guys that can punch you in the ribs while you're going by. Kyle Lowry is going to pull you down
1,000 times.
Right, he's going to fall and
look at you like, what happened? What happened?
Do you see him, by the way, when he like flipped Julius Randle over his back? Like it was wrestling, pretending as if he was the one being fouled. Like little things like that are going to happen, and they want you to get frustrated by it. They want to get you off your game doing it, and you got to maintain your cool. And I'm telling you, if they can do that and understand, don't shy away, keep going at them, do what Quickly did. All right, you're gonna face guard me? Well, I'm going to Euro step and elbow you across the face.
Uh-huh.
How many times do you want to take that?
Just wear
them down. That's what this series is going to be, guys. Everybody watching, understand. As Bart just said, don't look to the refs. Don't look for any help.
And get back on transition, because while you complaining, they run it.
There you go.
They wait for you to do that, and they're getting out.
100%. That's what this is about. Let's get some calls. 800-919-3776. Because, of course, everybody in New York City wants to talk about this game. It felt like everybody in New York City was at this game or even outside the building on 7th Avenue.
Did they bang 7th Avenue again? They did it again?
The NYPD did a great job making sure the street stayed open, but the sidewalks were packed. And our window, of course, at MSG Networks, filled with fans just pounding on the glass and having a great time after another Knicks playoff win. Dante in Queens. Dante, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just, you know, I wanted to chime in about the Knicks. But going to your point of those two calls that could win either way, you know, officials spend more than enough time pooping on us, so that's calls that we deserve and that much more. But my main point, you know, I'm not calling to, like, trash Tiz, but there was two things in this game that he didn't do. One was a key one, the one bonehead play that I haven't heard anybody talk about. Okay, it's 2:45 or 2:40 into halftime. You know Mitch already has two fouls. So I'm like screaming at my TV as if he can hear me, like, put Hartenstein in because I know these crooked officials. They're going to call something stupid on Mitch. No reason for Mitch to be out there. Put Hartenstein in the game so Mitch can go into the third quarter with two fouls. And if he gets the third foul even early in the third quarter, guess what? You're not taking him out the game, you know, because they got, you know, to the rim a lot. I mean, Hartenstein hustles, gets rebounds, and occasionally get the block, but he's not the level of rim protection that Mitch is, you know? And then the second thing, IQ is stunk. I think you need to go with Deuce, even if it's just for defense, because you wouldn't have Gabe Vincent out there looking like Tim Hardaway Sr., you know? Even if it wasn't you know? It's like those are just – I understand and I commend Coach Tibbs for giving a guy a chance. But right now, I'm sorry. Deuce needs to get half of his minutes.
I'll tell you what, it's Dante, ridiculous. If there's a player who looks like he'd be able to play in this series and not flinch, it's definitely Deuce McBride. It is something that I wouldn't shock – it wouldn't shock me if we saw Tom Thibodeau go to that – go there five. At some point. You know, because Deuce is somebody that would not shy away from contact. He certainly can defend. He would be all over whoever is hot. So I'd love to see him go up. Now, Kyle Lowry's still very crafty. Yeah. And so you got to be careful. Young players, that he can definitely take advantage of
that. Get your foul trouble, yeah.
But the Gabe Vincent thing is not a terrible idea. It really isn't. If he gets going again in another game, bring in Deuce and just, like, you know, what is it? You want to fight somebody, fight me? What was that?
No, you knocked him down. Try knocking me down.
Yeah, try knocking me down.
Hey, like, you're Tommy. Ain't heard no bell.
Exactly. So it's just certainly something to keep in mind. Carl is in the Bronx. Carl.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. I wanted to talk about the defense of the Knicks Heat also. Since Jimmy Butler wasn't playing in game two, I don't feel anyone else on that team needs – I feel like we overhelp a lot, which leads to a lot of their open threes.
Yes, yes.
And I don't think anyone, not even Bam, even if he gets it going, because I feel I'm confident enough in Mitch to at least make it tough for Bam. But no one else on that team needs – that we need to overhelp and leave these guys open for a lot of threes.
That's how they get confidence, because it's not contested shots
going
and scrambling.
On, yeah.
They're able to set their feet, do everything they need to do. I hate that.
Yeah, Carl's right about there's a lot of chasing, and it started because, again, they knocked down some threes, and now you're like, all right, don't let them get hot. Don't let them get comfortable because the Knicks have done that during the regular season. They'll stay packed in the paint, and they'll say, well, you'll make a few early, but you're not going to stay hot. And then we saw some teams that stayed hot. You don't want them to feel rhythm early in a game. But once you start chasing, then you're playing into their hands, especially if they played the way that Spo had them playing on offense.
Because then they try and run them off the line. Then they dribble, penetrate. Then they kick it back out to a wide-open guy once the rotation happens.
Yeah, and that's, of course, you know, do you expect the Heat to continue to shoot in the playoffs the way they've shot? Because during the regular season, they were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. John is in Newark. What's up, John?
Hey, big Knicks fan. I'm thrilled. It was fun to watch last night, but I have two concerns. First concern is with Mitchell Robinson. They gotta need to get that dude on the Airdyne or something, man. He is out of shape. And those fouls that he created or committed because he's out of shape. Jogging up and down the
I hear you, John. I would agree with you early in the season, but he put in mad minutes the last series, and he's playing really, really hard. And I think that's a lot for him to keep up with Bam Adebayo.
I just thought that those two early fouls were because he was tired.
No, John, those two early fouls were because Bam Adebayo got him one-on-one on the post and just pump-faked him, and he couldn't help it. He just bit on him. And the one looked like a pretty clean block, to be honest with you. The second foul – you know, that didn't have to be called, but if he made contact, he made contact. But that was – they wanted to get Mitch in foul trouble by getting Bam in a one-on-one on the post, and it worked. It simply worked.
Yeah, he bothers me because I think he's out of shape, and he plays lazy sometimes, and I don't know.
He didn't play lazy against the Cavs, 20 rebounds.
Yeah, they ain't playing lazy. Like,
he didn't play lazy against the Cavs. All right, go ahead. What was your other point, John?
No, against the Cavs, you're right. So I'm very, very concerned when Butler comes back. You barely beat this team without their only true star. I don't know if you can beat them with Butler.
Well, all right, let me ask you this. Did the Heat barely beat the Knicks without Julius Randle, with Jimmy Butler?
The Heat were in control of that game.
No, they weren't. The Knicks were in control of that game until the second half. Remember, they were up 12.
Well, that's when real basketball's played.
Okay. All right, so the first half means nothing. Well, anyways, Jimmy Butler...
The point is
that the Knicks didn't have Julius Randle in the first game, and they had Jimmy Butler... And they were able to win the game, but barely. They held on to win that game. It was a three-point game, and they held on. Now, the Knicks didn't make good plays late. Randle comes back.
I completely agree. The Knicks can't win without Julius Randle.
Right.
And I'm not sure they can win.
But how about with Randle in and Butler in, and they're both obviously compromised with the ankles, you still say no chance?
They did beat him during the regular season.
I think it's going to be very tough.
It's going to be. Well, this series.
I'll tell you what, John, this series
is going to be tough. Like, it is going to be. Thank you, John. It's going to be tough. But we can't say, I don't want us, because this is what happens. Because in Miami, they say it the other way. You got to understand, we do it here where it's like, that game was too hard without Jimmy Butler. If you add Jimmy Butler, we're going to lose.
I remind you
that there was no Randle in game one. And the Knicks were right there. In fact, again, looked like they were in control for most of the game. Then they couldn't make an open shot. Like, that's really what – they couldn't make an open shot, and the Heat held on to win. So we can't look at it this way. It's going to be a battle. Like, you can't expect – this is not going to be 99 when the Knicks got out of the first round and then swept the Hawks in the second round like it was easy, like a hot knife through butter. This is not going to be a series like that. This is going to be a back-and-forth, just slugfest. Devin in Queens Village. Devin.
Yes, how you doing? Long-time Knicks fan. Enjoyed the game last night. My only problem with the game was too many open threes that Miami is getting. I feel that Tibbs needs to stop these guys from double-teaming the ball and go man-to-man. This way, to cut down on the threes. Also, he needs to use his bench a little more.
Well, who do you want to play off the
bench?
Nobody
said that.
Hardenstein played a ton off the bench. Obi played 10 minutes because Randle gave you a huge game. And Emmanuel quickly didn't play well. Who was supposed to play?
Deuce, who's
playing for? So do you want Jalen Brunson to sit?
No. I don't want Jalen Brunson to sit, but we have to get Deuce McBride a little minute.
So who's he playing for? So you want all right? So Emmanuel quickly
probably Grimes. So give him Grimes minutes.
Why would you give him Grimes minutes?
Well, he can put as far as I'm concerned, Grimes ain't doing anything.
So now we're going to give up on Grimes. So we're giving up on Grimes. So Grimes got hurt. He got hurt. He's now back in the lineup, working his way back in, and we just want to now say, forget it. You're not playing anymore.
No. We want somebody that can put the ball in the basket from the outside.
Which is Quentin Grimes. He shoots 40% from three.
They just looking for a spark. That's all it is. I think the frustration is they get nothing from the bench. That's all. And they're looking for an answer.
That part is true, but that's when I look at Emmanuel quickly and say, okay, it's time for you to show up. Yes. This is a physical series that he clearly is not comfortable with. Like, he's not comfortable playing this way, because when the Cavs were playing very physical, he didn't like it. Game five is when he finally got loose. But this series, the Heat are intimidating. They're physical. They're nasty. Like, this is what they want to do. And Emmanuel quickly looks like he doesn't like any of that kind of stuff. That he's not about that life, like you like to say.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. Now, that's where I would say, I'll give quickly maybe one more half. And if I still see him hesitant, uncertain, you know, not shooting threes with his feet set because he's kind of worried about them running at him. All right, Deuce, let's see what you got. That's when you make that kind of a move.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, like, I'm not, you know, Deuce has to play or someone else has to play. Like, this whole notion that I've got 12 players, play all 12. You don't do that in the NBA. Just look at the league and you'll see. LeBron James played 40-something minutes last night. Anthony Davis played 40-something minutes last night. When you're in the playoffs, your best players play the most. That's just how it works in the league. Anthony in Long Island, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to point out real quick how, you know, for the people that are, you know, saying, hey, you know, they almost beat us without Jimmy, blah, 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 without all that, I just want to point out that the Knicks have been injured the last month or so, you know, Julius been in and out of the lineup. This team, I don't think, knows their established roles at this moment. And, you know, Dibs is a guy who just plays who's hot in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
so,
mm-hmm.
I just think that hurts because now Quickley's looking to be the guy every time he comes in. He doesn't know exactly his role. And, you know, I just think it takes more time. The team is fine. We're finally all getting healthy, and I'm not really worried about, you know, all these bench players hitting three-pointers off of crazy shots. I think we played great defense yesterday for the most part. They were hitting a lot of shots, and I think that's apparent. Everybody that was watching.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony. I mean, they're shooting really. It goes beyond what they actually are. Like, that's the other thing I'm waiting for is when does that catch up? Guys, look at the Heat regular season shooting numbers. It's not
this
bad.
This is without
it's
Tyler Hero.
One of the worst in the NBA. They had the worst offense in the league. Then they go into the playoffs. By the way, they go into the play-in. They look like they're dead in the water when they lose to Atlanta. Then they beat the Bulls somehow. Like, I mean, it wasn't easy. Then they go in and play the Bucks, and you thought this is like lambs to the slaughter, and instead they couldn't miss from three. 45%. Listen to me when I tell you. 45% is an insane percentage from three-point range. Insane. That is batting 400. You don't see that in the playoffs. But that's what they were doing in that series. And then they carry it into the Knicks series, and they still are shooting a good percentage from three in the Knicks series. Not 45%, but pretty damn close. And that's when you ask yourself, when is it going to catch up to this team? Because they really are, truthfully, not that good of a three-point shooting team. And when does that catch up? And maybe if you're the Knicks, you kind of wait for it, knowing it's going to come. Because, you know, it's the regression to the mean that we always talk about in sports.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The Yankees tonight again. The Guardians in town from Cleveland. And something happened during yesterday's game as the Yankees were losing 2-1. Still fairly early, but still. Anthony Volpe hits his third home run of the season just to cut it to 2-1, but it just seemed to flip things. And from there, the Yankee offense got on track enough for them to pull away with a 4-2 win. It is just, again, that sense that there was maybe just this momentum change, and Aaron Boone talked about
it. Definitely a little energy boost. You know, not that everyone's grinding away and fighting, but obviously it's been a little bit of a challenge. And you know, for him to step on one the other way like that, and then we string together a couple good at-bats to, Glaber, I think, with two strikes going the other way. Rizzo, just a good job of I think he might have two-striked it over there to left off of Karinchak. So just some good at-bats to get us right back into the game, and then Willie really got one. So their starter was tough. You know, first time seeing him, we thought he was going to be tough. I thought he threw the ball really well and was a challenge for us, but we had some good winning at-bats there when we needed them, and then the bullpen did their thing.
So how about that? The kid being a little bit of a catalyst there. Now, Glaber had the double after it. Rizzo goes for an RBI opposite field on a single. And then when he says Willie, he's talking, of course, about Will Calhoun, who just hit a bomb. And that's what you needed. And Calhoun's done a very nice job. But so is Volpe. You know, quietly, while the team has gone through its struggle, here again, early in the season, way too early to panic. It is still, you try to find the silver linings, and one of them is Volpe playing regularly. He's now obviously at the top of the order and getting more and more comfortable. And as they get healthy, when they do, and hopefully by the end of May, a lot of this stuff is behind them, is that hope maybe he's now just feeling a little more comfortable as a major leaguer, and then they can all get into a rhythm. I've said this before, Bart. They have gotten off to hot starts in the last couple of years and gotten everybody excited and then sputtering at the end. I do not mind a slow start if that only means that the momentum will pick up later in the year. We kind of flip the way the seasons have been going over the years. All right, that's the Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com. Today, 800-919-3776 is the number. A lot of people want to get into the conversation with us, so we will continue that with you. Let's next go to John in Queens. What's up, John?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm calling. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Yeah, listen, is it okay for me to talk about that statement that Giannis made about failure? Or are you not doing that? It's no problem.
Bro, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, son. Yeah. I don't want to speak for Han, but come on, man.
No. We go full buffet. If you got something to say about Giannis's statement, go ahead. Love to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the deal about it is that there's many people like him from a different cultures that are more spiritual cultures that think just like him. And I don't see why you or even Greeny, when I heard him talking, brought it up for a topic as if, you know, we have to do everything we do to change his mind. Because my thing is, if that's the way millions of people like him think, okay, they feel that, like Charles Barkley, he said he ain't never won a championship. He feels that he's never been a failure. Well, he's correct, you know, because there's people in different parts of the world that think that way. And you already know that. So why, I don't understand why you would bring him up, Giannis particularly, up on the radio program as to discuss that. Because it's a given. He has a right, and there's many people that
think that. All right, John.
That.
Well, John, here's the way these shows work.
I think it's disrespectful, really.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'll tell you this. When I'm doing a sports show, John.
You don't want being disrespectful.
Oh, I'm being disrespectful. Now you are, because you're not letting me answer you. Because this is how these things work. You see how a sports show works is we talk sports. This is what we do. We talk about sports. We talk about athletes. We talk about the guys who make a difference in the game. This is what people are interested in, hearing about these guys. And we all have takes on them. And sometimes they say things that we disagree with. That's part of life. And we could say, I don't agree with what he said, because I think his team failed. That's a reality. Is he a failure personally? Of course not. He has won in life a million times over. John, it's not about being disrespectful. It's about having an opinion. It's simply an opinion. That's all it is.
If
that's how things have to work, we just have to be respectful. So that means when players say what they want, we should just say, well, that's nice, and nothing to say about it. If we disagree with what they feel, we should say we disagree with how they feel. I disagree that he thinks his Bucks team was not a failure. When you are the top-seeded team in the East, you are a failure when you lose in the first round.
John,
that's a fact.
To an eighth seed, that's the first time it's ever
a fact.
Happened in a long time. But, John, you have to understand, maybe in the moment, because the reporter had asked him the same thing the year before, and he's like, man, you just trolling me? But it doesn't mean that it's not a failure, and it could cost Budenholzer his job. That's how big of a failure it was.
And once again, it's not that Giannis is a failure. Giannis is not a failure.
It's the team.
But your team
failed. The goals
failed.
Of the team was to fail. The goal is to be the top seed. Then it's the goal is to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Bar, what the hell? Like, what are we doing here when we're saying like, well, you're being disrespectful? Now all of a sudden, with Sports Talk Radio, we're just supposed to sit here with our hands folded and just nod when a player talks.
Right. Listen, just because he said,
what kind of take is that? It's awful.
At the end of the day, if Giannis never goes past that round, he'll be like, man, I should have been better. I don't know. Like, you know, we know it's a failure.
Bar,
how many times we hear Super Bowl or bust?
Bart, alone in his car on the way home from the game. You're telling me he's not like, wow, we failed.
I can't believe we lost.
You think he's just sitting there going, oh well?
Yeah, we're the number one seed.
We tried.
Lost to the eighth seed.
Man, come on. Like that's just like if you're telling me that's how sports works, then you don't know sports. Simple as that.
I tell you what, people get so caught up on a particular word, failure or disappointment. Same thing. It's a disappointing season. Like if you said it's a disappointing season, people can digest.
It's a failure.
I feel like people getting caught on it. Oh, failure! It's not a failure. I'm not a failure. Like not a failure. You're like
well, because
that's the word
that
he took out. That's
because
the word he took.
People are afraid of the word failure. You're afraid of it. Don't be afraid of admitting. First of all, have the accountability to say, you know what, I failed. But it doesn't mean you're done. Failure doesn't mean you're done. It just means you got more to do. That's it.
Right. This is a year
admitting
where they thought they could win.
Failure is okay. It doesn't make you weak. Yeah. It makes you strong to know I can recognize it and I'm going to fix it. And that's how the Bucks should attack this offseason, just like every other team that failed in the past. How do you get up from this failure? That's what people want to see. That's what makes sports so inspiring. Not, oh, don't call me a failure because it hurts my feelings and it's disrespectful. Get out of here with that. You're not a competitor if that hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
It's reality. You missed the shot. You failed. Get the next shot. Make it.
Michael Jordan would have said the same thing. Michael Jordan would have said it's a failure. He would have said it's absolutely a failure. The goal is to win championships, and every year you don't win a championship, it's a failure for that season. Doesn't mean that it's over with, that the narrative is over with. You try and succeed the next season. Like, I guarantee if you ask Tom Brady, was it a failure? Yeah, it was a failure, right? It was a failure. We had won a championship, we ran it back, and we lost. It's a failure.
Now, personally, again, is the player a failure? Is Giannis a – of course he's not.
First ballot Hall of
his
Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, but his story alone is incredible. And to that, you will always admire everything about him and what he has been able to accomplish and do with his athletic gifts. That is a fantastic thing that he has done with his life. But his team?
They failed.
The Rangers failed.
Gerard
Gallant can make every excuse he wants.
His team failed.
The Boston Bruins failed. That's just reality. It doesn't make the goalie a failure. It doesn't make any of their players. Pastrnak is not a failure. He's had a great career. But as a team, they failed because there were expectations that not everybody else put on them. They put on themselves. When you have a season like the one they had, you start telling yourselves, we got a shot at a cup. We can win a championship. And then you don't. You failed. Now, again, the good news about sports is this, everybody. There's another season. There always is. So no matter what, they'll have a chance to make up for that failure next year. And Bart, you always tell this story. Is that how do you ever get to that point where you have great success? Is what do you have to do first?
Go through pain.
Feel pain. And feeling pain means you what?
It's the greatest motivator.
You failed.
Yeah.
You had to fail. You had to get hurt. You had to do something that told yourself, that wasn't good enough. I got to do better. And I learned from my failure to become better. That's what sports is really all about. That's what life is all about.
Life is about managing failure.
Of course it is.
That's what it is. And for us to now have to sugarcoat failure because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings
and make them feel bad about it.
Yeah, growth comes from failing. But it's still a failure.
I just can't. I that mentality drives me crazy. Don't say failure. You're being disrespectful. You're being mean. I'm not calling you names.
Stop, man. I'm calling it
what it is.
What's mean is to listen to a coach cuss your player out in a meeting. That's mean. Like, stop it, man. That sports is all about that. Listen, there's no room for us, you know, tiptoeing around sports. Sports is the ultimate either do or do not. Nobody want to hear your excuses
there
about what happened, the reason why it had happened.
No.
If we would have had so-and-so, nobody cares your teammates get hurt.
Nope.
You didn't get it done.
That's
simple
it.
As that.
That's
like,
it.
Nobody cares. Like, this is – listen – sports is different from society.
Participation trophies are for,
yes.
are for youth leagues.
It's different.
It is not for professional sports.
Yes, this is professional sports. You get paid millions of dollars to do
Thank
this.
Thank you.
And if you don't do it, it's different when it's an amateur sport. You're just out there for the fun. Everybody's participating. No, this means that you're one of the best of the best. And if you don't win, you fail.
I'd love to ask that caller. All the money you have in the world, take half of it. Give that to someone. Ask them to perform something that can help you make more money. If they lose all your money, did they fail?
No, they
Of
learned.
Course they did, but they tried.
Learned.
They tried. They invested it. They thought this was going to be a really smart move. They did all their homework, but then they found it. Then they realized that someone else had a better investment and blew yours out of the water, and now your money's gone. They failed. So I'm an owner. I own a team. I invest my money into that team.
Yeah,
I pay for players
fail?
To be great. The players don't win a championship, even though they had a great season. They did not win a championship, which would have made me a lot more money. That team failed. We have to be better. A general manager loses his job when he doesn't build the roster good enough to win a championship because you failed. A coach loses his job. Like Gerard Gallant could possibly lose his job because the Rangers, who built a team that not only was built through the draft but also added super talent around it with a great goaltender, and they didn't get out of the first round to a younger team after being up 2-0 in the series. You failed. It's okay to fail. It's okay to acknowledge failure. We've all been there. I've done it. But if you sit there and say, don't say failure because it's mean, don't say it because it's disrespectful, then that means that you can't handle the failure,
can't handle the
pressure, which is a scarier so place to be in life than to – you know what? It's scarier to not handle failure than to fail. Much scarier to not be able to handle it
not failing
than to actually fail.
To the arena. Means you never came to the arena, man.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We need to clarify something from earlier in the show. Because as we were talking about all the celebrities that were at the Garden last night, right? And I was going through all the different people, and I just said, and respectfully, of course, Jessica Alba was there. And that, you know, it was one of those moments where you just kind of pause. And she had a moment that was caught on camera that was just, you know, a moment, went viral. And you then brought up Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
And randomly, because that's what you do, you just randomly bring up things. And I think it was confused by some that, because I think even Ray thought you thought Salma Hayek was Jessica Alba. And
No, that's not what we did. No,
what happened was we did what we always do, is we all of a sudden just like veered right and ended up in a completely different neighborhood. I mentioned Jessica Alba and just talked about how, again, respectfully, it is doing quite well. And you then said you more liked Salma Hayek, who you also said she aged very well. And then we went into how, look, you know, Dusk Till Dawn, that character in Dusk Till, she was amazing. And so I think some people thought we were saying Jessica Alba was in Dusk Till Dawn, which I wouldn't have minded seeing that if she wanted to play that character, but that's not really what we were doing there.
Yeah. You were talking about what you like, and I was talking about, man.
Whatever you like.
Yeah.
It's what we do somehow. We just veer left and right all over the map. That's the show. Just like this, let's veer right into calls with Fly in White Plains. What's up, Fly?
Hey, good afternoon, gents.
Afternoon.
Just want to say, I never used to listen to sports talk radio, and you two together, the vibe, it's phenomenal, and thank you for that, because now I listen all the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me ask you though, what made you do it? Well, if you've never listened to it before, what got you to listen to us?
Well, I truthfully just putting on ESPN, and you know, I catch the guys after you, they're great. Mm-hmm. Catch some morning stuff, but you guys, I honed, I'm in the restaurant business, so I work in the afternoons at night. Perfect. So I'm in the car this time, so I hear you guys more, and I got to tell you, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Thank
and I
you.
Love that I was a season ticket holder for the Jets, so having Bart on my side,
can't
fantastic.
Wait.
Appreciate it.
Can't wait, it's right.
We up, baby, we up.
It's a good
time. So I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
And it ties in what you said before about, people, what have you done for me lately kind of stuff. Everybody's saying we got Joe Douglas' tenure here is tied to Zach Wilson and that pick. Am I crazy to think that with everything else he's done being pretty damn good, who cares if Zach Wilson pans out? The man built a team in 2 years, a pretty good team, from ground up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, a lot of guys are missed on a quarterback, but, you know, if the winning, if finding ways to win, and you have to have another plan B. I mean, you know, you have to have another plan B. If this team gets an AFC championship, I don't see how he doesn't get an opportunity to find another quarterback via the free agency or veteran type of aspect for more of a long-term solution. I mean, I think he'll get an opportunity to be able to build the team the way he likes to.
I just think these other people are crazy to say that he's got to go. If Zach Wilson, I mean, haven't they been watching? I mean, look at last year's draft. Unbelievable.
It's, you know what it is? I think sometimes. Hey, by the way, Fly, appreciate the call. Call anytime. And, love it. And thanks so much for the kind words. But I said this after the draft. It's amazing to me how after the first round, we had people calling, complaining, and like ripping Joe Douglas. And I'm thinking to myself, after all this, still?
Right. Like after Aaron Rodgers. Remember what the conversation was? He'll never get Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. He has to give up 2 ones, 2 threes. And then, basically, he gave up Elijah Moore, basically a second-round pick. So he gave up Elijah Moore, and he's going to give up a pick in the 20s next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just the thing.
Like, he gave up a second. No, he didn't. He traded a player, Elijah Moore. He traded in an asset.
It just blows my mind that it still becomes like, he doesn't know what he's doing. What a terrible flow. How could you make that pick? And I'm like, you still think you in your basement know more than Joe Douglas about a draft when he just had a draft that produced the rookie of the year on both sides of the football.
And Vera Tucker and Breece Hall.
Yeah, and then the year before. Like, give me a break. So all you can
hope Michael
for.
How about finding Michael Carter, one of the best slot corners in the game?
No, Bart. It's not enough. Not enough. Howie Roseman's a brilliant man, but it took a Super Bowl for us to understand that. Maybe that's what Joe Douglas needs to do. Exactly. All right, tonight, Devils, Hurricanes, second round. Are you all in on the Devils?
We up, Jersey!
You're all in, right? Bart Scott, Devil fan. Maybe we need to go to The Rock, you and me.
Let's do it.
All right, Bart. I'll see you tomorrow.
Jersey.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.